Hey, folks, welcome to the program. How's it going? You ready to talk some crap today? Culture, race, and American politics. This is going to be an interesting program. I'm going to take you back in time a little bit today as we go through this. If we can look at things from a historical perspective, it might help us understand what's going on in our society. But this is also a study in the effect of media, the effect of social media on our lives every single day. And wouldn't you know it, our system forces us into this. Hey, folks, do me a favor. You want to give the system this finger, give them this finger. Will you please, 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 please use that finger and rumble this program. By the way, if you're on Rumble right now, click that follow button. Make sure that you get all of our program. By the way, not only do I have content for you 7 days a week, 7 a.m., 7 p.m., 7 days a week, 7 Central Time. That's why I say that, so it's easy to remember. We have now started dropping in program at noon Central Time. So get ready for it, right? We're just trying to get you used to understanding when the program will be, because very short order, when the new studio and everything's done, you'll get 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. is when you'll be getting program from us, because there's a lot to cover, right? There's a lot to cover. Anyway, as we get into today's program, we're going to be talking about health. I guess, kinda. This is health I'm more comfortable with, right? And can understand. I can understand this one. Fill the greens is the healthiest thing I do every day. And by the way, I want you on this journey with me. It's literally just one scoop a day. It tastes great. I like all of the flavors. There's berry flavor, etc. And you can ask people in chat. Talk to people in chat that use it. Been using it for a while. Get great results with it. It's not a meal replacement. It's just nutrition the way nature intended. And I think this has really improved my life. I've got way more energy throughout the day, which I need. Sleeping better throughout the night, which we all need, right? Healthier hair and skin. See, Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. And so I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. Maybe you'll try it too. It's an interesting promise they have with it. Look, I promise you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they promise you they'll give you 100% money back guarantee. So I got 15% off your first order, free rush shipping. Visit filledofgreens.com and use promo code Jovan. That's promo code Jovan for filledofgreens.com. Try it out, right? Most people don't know, even with vitamins, a chelated vitamin is like the kind of the hard pill thing. Most people's digestive tracts are so bad that you actually just kind of poop it out because your body can't break it down. So when you get something like Field of Greens, which is that super fine powder, and it hits your stomach, your body starts using it right away. So it might be good for something just to get you feeling better again. Right? My program's about you, not only physically, but financially as well. Here's one you need to understand. And gold's going through the roof. Have you been watching, folks? Yep. I'm asking you to go to JovanLovesGold.com. By the way, if I was to go back, gold was what? $1,500 an ounce when I started talking to you about what it is, and now it's like kind of through the roof many, many more times that. But this is not about investing in gold. It's about just making sure what you've put back can stay yours. Now, I want you to be real clear right now to everybody listening. I know I talk about a lot of scary things that could potentially affect you. Today, I'm going to show you some of the insurance scam and stuff, and it affects you. Believe me, I'm going to show you how. But one way or another, whatever happens in this country or this government does will affect you and will affect somebody you know. So what you do about it is up to you. That's your business. But if you're the planning and cautious kind, wanting to be prepared just in case, here's an idea. It might make sense to diversify your money with precious metals. That's why I partnered with Gold Co., because I believe this could be the best way to help. So when you go to Jovan Loves Gold, you can do it now. You can get your free gold and silver kit from Gold Co. Shows you how to get into precious metals, tax-free and penalty-free. even if your money is still in a retirement account, like an IRA or 401k, now you may already qualify to get $10,000 in free silver. You'll find out. Just fill out the information, talk to them. We've all seen the writing on the wall. So go to JuanLovesGold.com, get your free gold and silver kit today. Because this is about taking back control of our privacy and our freedom. Now, I cannot predict the future, but I can certainly prepare for it. And you should be prepared to, and at the very least, you should be educated about your choices. So take action, defend your freedom, your privacy, and your future. Go to JuanLovesGold.com for your free 2024 gold and silver kit. Might be just worth looking at. By the way, I don't know if you've seen some of the series of the articles that I've been putting out there on Survive the Crap. You know, you watch me with Cut the Crap. Survive the Crap is just kind of helping you relearn the stuff that your grandparents knew, etc., right? Like if you everything went to hell in a handbasket and you had to eat your way around a city, and I'm not talking grocery stores, could you find food? Would you know where to look for food? Some of the things I cover. One thing you might be interested in is I did a program on how to look for bug out land. More people are now talking about, oh my God, I got to get out of the system. I got to get bug out land. I've got to be able to take care of myself. So I did do an article. I used it as an example that if you were looking to have or get bug out land, right? What would you look for? How do you look for it? And so I talk about owning bug out land and how to assess a parcel. Like what do you look for? What should you look for? What do you need to know about the land? And what are all the pros and cons of off the grid, on the grid, and all that other happy stuff? By the way, some people have been asking, I'm going to do one for you on those of you that you want to maybe not just bug out, but you want to drop out, right? I'm going to talk about what if you were going to bug out to an island? Can you do it, right? Can you bug out to an island? Could you actually do it? Maybe your thing's seafood, want to live the island lifestyle, run around in your Tarzan loincloth or not, whatever the case may be. Could you do it on an island? I'm going to cover that one too. But that's over where we do our Survive the Crap stuff. Anyway, share this program. We're going to take a look. As weird as it is, we're going to take a look at this transgendering of America. But I want to explain to you how you're paying for it. We're all paying for it. Dr. Death has arrived at our doorstep. Share this, folks. It's going to be an interesting lesson. Let's get going.
Cut the crap. How many times a day do you want to say that to politicians? The elite, the loony liberals, the fake news media, and the gender-confused emotional socialist snowflake crowd. Cut the crap is your secret weapon for fighting for our freedoms and our great republic. It all begins with a massive mental enema, freeing you from the toxic news and politically correct views, which constipate your consciousness with stinking thinking. Your host, Joe Von Hutton Pulitzer. He's known for calling out politicians and telling them to cut the crap. You've seen him on virtually every television network and listened to him on Coast to Coast Radio. And now he's here to help you learn to fight for America. Culture, race, and American politics, they all have one thing in common. They all need to cut the crap. Now, here's your host, Joe Von Hutton Pulitzer.
Hey, folks, welcome to the program. Who would name their program crap? Well, I would. I kind of have the testes for it, if you know what I mean. On this program, we're going to talk about Dr. Death, the truth behind gender surgery. You know, gender affirming surgery is big bucks. And I wanted to dive into this because it's going through the roof. I don't know if you know it, but it's going through the roof. But we're going to take a look at it. Right? Because I think when you look at this topic historically, and then you kind of merge things together, you look at it, okay, it's been around forever. Come on, there's always been dudes with dongs that play like their ladies and ladies that want to play like their guys. Always have been here. So what's different now? Well, all of a sudden, when you take a look at it and watch the filter of media, money, and maladministrations, administrations like we have, and you kind of see them mashed together, you see something very interesting happen. The dollars go through the roof. It becomes big business. $15 billion business, by the way, but we're going to discuss that in a minute. And so what I want to do is I just want to take you on a journey, because you should have the historic information behind this. You should have the factual information behind it. And whether you think this is a topic I hate, it's horrible, it has nothing to do with me, you're wrong. Because whether you like it or not, you're paying for it. And I want to show you how the numbers work in this so you understand. So first, let's go back. Let me just give you, let me give you some history first, if that's okay. Let me introduce you to baby Lucille Hart. This is little Lucille right here. And this was back in a time when, well, a lot of our families were coming across the pond, populating our country. As a matter of fact, on that particular topic, just one thing you need to know. We have now, during this selected, not elected, mail order maladministration that's installed in Washington, D.C., we've hit a very interesting hallmark. I guess you could say, yes, the number amount of transgender surgeries, etc., but this one most people aren't looking at. My family, I'm only first generation American. My grandmother and mother kind of basically came at the same time. I mean, right after each other, but two different trips. My grandmother was one of only seven women that were allowed in the United States of America during the time that would have been the Nazi occupation. My grandmother married a highly decorated American war hero. My mother came over later. So, and of course, you know, when you look at things, you kind of think that an Ellis Island, right? Now, America used Ellis Island, the call out to immigrants, come here to the land of the free, home of the brave. What do we say now? Land of the zombies, home of the testicle gallicalis, the boobyless. I don't know what we say now, but Ellis Island legally accepted immigrants wanting to come here to do the legal process for 60 years. 60 years, right? And so that time period, which affected me, my own mother was one of the last ones to come through the Ellis Island bit. But the times of Ellis Island, where we were doing immigration legally, was from the time period of 1892 to 1954. And that's when we were in the height of our melting pot Americanization, right, of the United States of America. Ellis Island was the most trafficked immigration center ever. Now the most trafficked thing are children from Mexico, but I digress. The reason I give you that number of right at 12 million legal U.S. immigrants came through Ellis Island from 1892 to 1954, I wouldn't be here without it, is the Biden administration has now encountered, allowed in, slipped through, get away, and encounters almost that same exact number in just 4 years. I just thought you'd like to know that from a historical perspective. One administration completely one for one wiped out what was legal for those 60 years and put in illegals and did it in four. But let's go back to little Lucille Hart, right? Many of your grandparents and stuff had come from places all over to live the American dream. Now, Lucille, I'm going to show her here. She's on the far right in this photo. This is, of course, her as a child. And then this is her in school. She was a member of an editorial staff. That's her on the top right. Most people don't know Lucille A. Hart, but many people's lives have been changed by Lucille A. Hart, but you would have known her as Alan Hart. Now, the reason I tell you about Alan Hart, who comes from Oregon, that's where he grew up, right? Born, actually, Hall Summit, Kansas. Born in 1890, died in 1962. Now, many people have been affected by this individual's work. If you were to go back in time, his grandparents and et cetera, his father died very early in life of typhoid fever. Very interesting. Raised by his grandparents and a mother, they always thought he was foolish, etc. And just said he was kind of girly. He never really wanted to play girls' games. I got it wrong there. He was not girly. He just felt boys' clothes felt natural. And he regarded himself as a boy, begged his family to cut his hair, begged them to let him wear trousers, disliked dolls, but enjoyed playing doctor. He hated what was called traditional girls' task. He wanted to work with the menfolk instead. And so, as time went on, she became a he, and now is being talked about in history from this trans agenda now. Now, this person changed many lives. This was the person that figured out how to detect tuberculosis using X-ray. Okay? He was really critical in being able to determine, okay, does this person have tuberculosis? And actually ended up using X-ray to do it. And it is still the standard today. Still absolutely the standard today. Now, why he's part of this current crop of transgender agenda is she became the first... And they're spinning it. But see, they're updating this all the time. And this is why I tell you this. Because see, they're going back and they're rewriting history. And now they're, although his work is pioneering, and his work has saved a tremendous amount of lives, now with this agenda, they've gone back in and kind of say he's one of the very first transgender people to go under the knife for surgery. When in fact, in 1917, World War I, 1917, He did have a hysterectomy and a gonadectomy. Cutting out the gonads. Had a hysterectomy, had a gonadectomy. Nobody talked about it. It was just no big deal. That's what he decided was right for his life. Didn't want to deal with all the hormones up and down, whatever it is. And that was that person did. Now you're seeing it creeping into the historical record by saying he was the first trans man to undergo a hysterectomy. No. She was a woman. She would tell you she was a woman. She never hid that she was a woman. She just preferred to live as a man, period. But never tried to hide it. But now as you see this, this is all kind of being redone and rewritten, which is why I kind of bring up this historical part, is because now they're saying that transgender assignment surgery goes as far back as the Byzantine Empire. In case you don't know about the Byzantine Empire, for those of you who aren't educated on your history, you might have heard of it when idiots were talking about the seven rays of light coming out of your head. That goes back to the Byzantine Empire. But anyway, if we go back between these two times, right, the furthest back Roman stuff is Nero. When Nero's wife died, when the Roman Empress died, Nero took a young boy that he thought was purdy. Maybe he said, you have purdy lips. I don't know. Might have been squealed like a pig. I have no idea. They don't tell us the accounts of that. But he took a young boy named Sporus, S-P-O-R-U-S, castrated him, and then had the young boy parade around as the emperor's wife. So now they're claiming that was transgender history. And then, of course, when we get to the Byzantine Empire and we get to the Roman Emperor Elagabalus. Yes, I'm saying that right. Elagabalus. In the Byzantine Empire, they recognized there was this stuff called intersex people. It means that you had a penis and you had a vagina. I did just call them happy people who never get a no, but I digress. But anyway, yes, he was ballless. Elagabalus. Anyway, back then they realized there was this thing called intersex. And the way they dealt with it is they made a person decide what was the useless part. And they would surgically, the cure was just to surgically remove the useless part. Yeah. So I give you this because all of this is creeping in now and people are going back into history. And I even posted something the other day was that some of the science is now saying some of the dinosaurs were gay. Which kind of completely explains their extinction, don't you think? But they're now saying that there were species of dinosaurs that were gay. True story. I mean, there's all kinds of jokes, right? What are there, the megasauruses and the lickalotopuses? But yeah, they're saying that there were dinosaurs. They can prove there was god dinosaurs that were gay. True story. True story. Even though I say they're either lickalotopuses or megasauruses, but and I think how stupid is that? They're trying to go back and justify this stuff. How stupid is that? And Okay, well, it explains extinction, doesn't it? But when I saw that one, I thought, oh man, you know, how Saturday Night Live, even though they're not as good as they were in the 70s, can't write stuff like this, right? Don't tell me you've never heard of Megasauruses and Lickalotopuses. Look them up. Anyway, stay away from the blue waffles. So here's some of the history of it, just so you know. When I told you about Alan Hart, no big deal. It would tell you in his life that he just preferred to look like a man and dress like a man. It wasn't, hey, anything else, right? So that was Alan Hart in 1917. And then there was Dora Richter. I wonder if we relate it to Ricky Richter, Steven Richter in Arizona. Here's Dora. Now, poor Dora was, well, a little girl who was ugly as a stump. And it might be because Dora was a dude. Now, Dora is a little bit different, right? And now they're rewriting history to tell you that Dora, who was born April 16, 1892, was the first trans woman known to undergo complete male-to-female gender-affirming surgery. Now, Dora was pretty darn serious about this stuff. Any of you that ever raised or had family in sheep country, and a lot of people don't understand this about ranching, but there's two ways to deball your sheep. You either throw them down and open up the nut sack and take out the testicles and then have a big fry party eating sheep balls, which are actually pretty good, by the way. I like mine crunchy. I've got to have them more on the crunchy, dry side. If they're a little too squishy, it kind of freaks me out. But sheep balls aren't too bad. Don't knock them till you've tried them. Rocky Mountain oysters. Anyway, so you can either cut them out, or you got this little expander device, right? And it stretches open something that was akin to your braces, if you had braces as a kid, braces rubber band, you know, that little bitty tiny but strong rubber band. And it braces, stretches open this rubber band, and you slip it up over the sheep's balls, and you let it contract. And then what happens over time, and a lot of you are saying, yes, balls are good eating. Balls are good eating. Don't let them rest on your nose too long or hit your forehead, but barbecue, different story. Anyway, put that little tight rubber band around the testicles. It cuts off the blood supply, and the testicles kind of become dried cranberries, and then you can flick them and they'll fall off, and it would have healed itself. Well, I guess Odora, the explorer, kind of knew that because Dora's parents, if you were to go back in her life, they used to talk about that she had the tendency to act and carry on in a feminine way. Right? But Dora actually thought she was a woman. So this is not a dude who just liked to dress like a woman. This was a dude who was committed to be a woman. He was so committed that when Dora was 6 years old, this pains me to tell you this story, but when Dora was 6 years old, she tied a tourniquet around her private parts in an effort to cut off the blood supply to make the penis fall from her body. Now, Dora had some serious issues. This was different. Dora would tell you she was a woman. even when she had a wanker. But she was committed. You got to be pretty committed. You can imagine you got to be pretty committed when you're going to tie a tourniquet around your private parts to cut off the blood supply so they'll drop off like the sheep. And believe me, you don't want that to happen. My dad and I used to laugh, but my dad hated geese. He hated geese and wanted to kill any geese he ever saw around him, eat them, shoot them, you name it, whatever the case may be. And my dad's story was when he was a little boy at the edge of the yard and he pulled out his little Mr. Winky to whiz in the yard, the goose that used to be in the front yard saw his little Winky when my father was a little tyke and proceeded to grab that Winky and shake it like a worm. But that's a different type of trauma. And I think I would eat the goose too. If the goose tried to gobble my little Winky and rip it from my body, I think I too would want to eat every one of them I saw. But Dora was committed to her plight. And she used to get arrested all the time for dressing as a woman. She actually went to prison and was sent to men's prison because she dressed as a woman. Then she found out she liked that and did it all the time. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, yeah, you can't make that story up about the goose and the wanker. Is that a child story? Hey, I could write new children's stories. Traumatized. The story of the goose and the one-eyed worm. Anyway, Dora was the first one in 1922 to undergo what's called an orchiectomy, O-R-C-H-I-E-C-T-O-M-Y. Let's just call it an ouchiectomy because that's the removal of testicles. And then in 31, she had a penectomy, P-E-N-E-C-T-O-M-Y. And I think that was the turning of the Audi to an N at any. And then they're now hailing him as the first transgender woman on record to undergo vagioplasty. Right? So, records don't really show when she died. She was still alive in 1931, but nobody really know when she died. But looking at her, she wasn't very attractive. I don't know. Maybe she was a Russian woman on the Russian front. I have no idea. But this is the timeline of this stuff's always been here. That's it. It's always been here. There's nothing new under the sun. So what the hell happened? What the hell happened? Well, if you were to look up occurrences of the need for gender, they changed it from gender reassignment to gender affirming care. I've told you how they do that. And if you look across stuff, they'll say, yeah, it's on the rise, maybe about 12%, 10%, whatever the case may be. But it's actually not true because the numbers have actually gone through the freaking roof. So let's kind of look at some of the numbers going on. And you can see it in the diagnosis. By the way, the huge spikes. New York, LA. Must be something in the West Coast and East Coast water, huh? Because it's through the freaking roof. Well, no, it's because people are wearing it as my sons, like Megan Fox, three boys. All three boys are now girls. True story. All of these things have gone through the roof, totally through the roof. Yes, it happens in flyover states where all of us are. But if you look at the geographical locations of this, it's nuts. Now, the industry will tell you it's only gone up about 15% since 2017. Well, let's look at those numbers. In 2017, for patients getting diagnosis as gender dysphoria, it was 15,172. 2021 was 42,167. Now, that's not 15%. Maybe that's why they don't want to teach us math in school anymore, but that's not 15%. And by the way, the 2024 number is on the track to double 2021. It's probably going to top out at 150,000. Let's look at some of these numbers. Here's what you need that's going on. This number has tripled since 2017. These are their own numbers that they do not talk about. Just in the categories of 6 to 17, they say, and this was by a 2021 number, it's higher now, 121,882 children 6 to 17 are gender dysphoric. It's even higher now. It is going through the roof. Now, I want to give you one little economic formula so you understand what's going on. And this is how I'm going to explain it to you. Most of you have or have had cable TV. Now, in your cable TV package, let's just say you pay $100 for it. The way the cable TV happens is, we'll just take ESPN, which used to be the big dog. ESPN, to provide sports to the cable industry, let's just say your AT&T cable, ESPN would get $2.62 of every one of AT&T's subs. So that means for you that when you pay your $100, $2.72 of that $100 is going to ESPN. Now, that might not sound like a lot until you realize there's 200 million subscribers or something ridiculous like that. Let's just take 100 million. So it's 100 million times $2.72 every month. Now you see how it works? Every month. That's how the cable industry works. Now, I want you to just kind of put that in your head, right? Put that in your head, because we're being barraged in this. And I'm going to show you how they're selling this. I'm going to show you how they're selling it, because they're doing a sales con job on every one of us. Now, the first off, they'll tell you in the industry, it's only going up 15%. It's not true. It's tripling and quadrupling. One of the largest growing groups is children whose parents are on Medicaid. Government money, largest growing group. They got access to all this stuff. I mean, it's through the freaking roof. They'll tell you you got to do it because it reduces the suicide in children. Well, here's the real number. The blue is that you actually had visits and or prescriptions and or you're in the throes of it, whether you're having no surgery, meaning you're a person that hasn't had the surgery, or you're a person that has had the surgery. So the light colored teal is you haven't had the surgery, but the gray boxes is. And in every category, including suicide attempts, it's up. Now, this is really hard to research because I was digging to try to find out, okay, is this really saving lives? Exactly what the left says. You gotta save a kid. Wait till I drop the big bomb. You got to save the kids. You got to do this, whatever. Well, here's kind of how the telemetry looks. This is the actual stats of what's called the considered, meaning you thought about it, and then the actual attempted suicide rate of transgender people in the United States. Let me pull this up real quick because I want to give you a larger look at this. Bear with me one moment. And I want you to see the numbers and you tell me if you believe that this is the solution for keeping kids alive and stopping suicide rates. So we go back to 2000. Let me make sure I got the graph right. Okay, so blue is considered suicide, black is attempted suicide. So if we go back to 2000, 61% said they attempted suicide, 28% said they considered it. Now let's jump to 2024, and the reason this goes forward is because they're showing this trend is going more. Now, what's really interesting, look at that peak in 2020. That's COVID. But do you see any declining trends here, folks? At all? Do you see any declining trend? The answer is no. The answer is all this stuff that they say about saving kids' lives is bullshit. It is total bullshit. Stay with me. You're gonna understand why they do it. But they got 121,882 kids from 6 to 17 doing it. But they'll tell you in all the reports, no, we don't do it for kids. We don't give it to kids. That's just not the way that goes. Well, it's not true. Now, this is a little snippet from the American Medical Association. And the American Medical Association is now on the bandwagon that several states are prohibiting medically necessary gender-affirming care for patients who are minors. Well, that's not what's really going on. It's actually saying schools can't make this decision and it can't be made without the parents' consent. But they're going to tell you they're going to block it. And so the AMA has got into this and they're writing laws right now. And they're saying that you can't insert the government into clinical decision making and force physicians to disregard clinical guidelines. Wait a minute. In COVID, they made you do all kinds of crap. Anyway, I have given you these downloads and it's available for anybody. If you pop over to my Locals, JovanHuttonPulitzer.locals.com. It's very easy, right? You follow just like any other social media. You follow, okay? And just click follow. If you want to support and get all the other stuff, that's fine. But I just put these reports there for you because I can share you PDFs there. And I show you the real numbers. I show you the real numbers on every bit of this BS because what's going on is they now see it as a $15 billion opportunity, $15 billion opportunity, and they want every insurance carrier, including Medicaid, to cover it. Now, why should that bother you, right? Why should it bother you? Well, a few things you need to know. Let me give you some of the tidbits, Twinkies, kibbles and bits, if it were. You're now seeing studies then saying you need to allow men to cut off their testicles if they're gender dysphoric. Hang on here. just hang on with me. Is that okay? You need to allow men to cut off their testicles if they're gender dysphoric, because hang on a minute. I gotta say this with a straight face. This study has proven that you have to let men cut off their testicle if they're gender dysphoric, because having to tuck them is painful. No shit, right? You have to allow them to cut them off because having to tuck them causes frequent gonad pain. You think? More importantly, you don't say. More importantly, if you, besides making them suffer pain, because they're going to have gonad pain and they're likely to twist a testicle, they could get an infection. Pay attention to the keywords. They could get an infection because of testicular torsion. That's not my alliteration, that's theirs. And it can cause infertility. Now, here's what I told you. It seems that one of the reasons the medical profession needs to come to the rescue of men that have testicles that want to live as women is because if you tuck your testicles, it's going to cause frequent gonad pain. And they said that's the number one side effect. It's a medical study. It's the number one side effect of tucking your testicles is profound gonad pain. And that if you keep on doing this, the more the man tucks their balls, they are at risk of infection and testicular torsion and infertility. Duh. No fucking shit. Now, in order to save men from tucking, what they have prescribed is it's far better to go ahead and cut them off. So let's say they're going to cut them off. Then you look at the side effects of having your penis and your testicles cut off. So the solution is we got to let guys cut them off. And then you read, the side notes for cutting them off. And remember, they said we got testicular torsion, we've got pain, we've got infertility. It's hurting men that tuck them. And the side effects of cutting them off are serious infections, phantom pain, and absolute infertility. That's how derangedly screwed up this is. It gets worse. It gets worse. The whole plea is you are abusing men who tuck their testicles because you are causing them recurring testicle pain. and they could twist them and it could cause an infection and it can make them infertile. So we have to save them and cut them off where there's a super high rate of infection, continual phantom pain, and they're absolutely infertile. Sounds like the perfect Democrat solution, doesn't it? But here's interesting. And I'll just tell you the truth. I'm going to be very candid with you. In my life as a male, I have handled a tremendous amount of penis. Granted, it's my own. So I consider myself an expert on this. Right? Guys, don't play like you've never handled the penis, okay? And guys, I can tell you, you're probably an expert at penis handling yourself. You just won't admit it. And it does not grow hair on your palms. That is a lie. I tried to prove that theory excessively. And Dr. Ricky's saying, 70 years and counting. And I love, like Henry says, I love my penis. Yeah, I love my penis too. I'm very well acquainted with my penis. Anyway, now just stand with me here, folks, just for a minute, right? Just stand, just here it is. Because women, come on. You're a vagina expert. You've handled a tremendous amount of vagina. So let's just get very serious here, okay? And I'm not talking to anybody in this cringe transgender stuff. It's just what it is. Help me out here. Who posted on the screen? Where'd my screen go? Anyway, the best thing about being an expert penis handler for myself or women, you being an expert vagina, labia, clitoris, whatever handler, is the orgasm. Am I right or am I wrong? Am I right or am I wrong? That orgasms are one of the absolute greatest things God ever gave us. And that's a God-given gift. And I'm not being blasphemous or anything else. But I got to tell you, even a bad orgasm is a good orgasm. You know what I mean? Let's just be serious here for just for a minute. Period. Orgasms are brilliant. And it's a gift from God. It is absolutely brilliant. And it's so brilliant that from the moment you have one, you're freaking addicted. And by the way, I was addicted to orgasms. Never had to worry about drugs or any of that stuff. Puberty blockers permanently terminate the person's ability to have an orgasm. Same with all the people that change their outies to innies and innies to outies. Henry, you're right. Well, number one, I didn't know that, and that's sad. And it's right. It's a result of female genitalization as well. And so I try to look at this. We always knew there was a mental health component to it. But I got to tell you, something's really wrong when you're willing to never, ever, ever, ever have another orgasm in your life. I got to tell you, that's just pretty screwed up. But it's not in the instruction sheets. And even if you're not currently engaging in sex, you can sit there and think back to the most nutrific times you've ever had. Right? But wow. And so my question is, and it's no informed consent, Charles, you're right. I don't know if this is being discussed. And I find in this research, many people aren't thinking it through. But it is quadrupled. And you can track it to media and all that stuff. Like I play, you know, that fun ditty from Five Times August and stuff. The more it's heralded, the more it's talked about, the higher it goes through the roof, and you're told you care for your kids and you're a great parent. Hell no. Imagine what you're dooming your children to. If I had a son, and I'm just very transparent. If I had a son that came to me and said, "Dad, I'm a girl," and that was really it, I would encourage my son not to get the operations because, son, okay, you're going to be a gay male and you're still going to want to have orgasms and whatever. Don't ever give that up. You want to dress like a girl, dress like a girl. Try to talk about it, try to get them help. But if that was down to it, I wouldn't want to doom my child to that. But you find, you'll read about this in the studies, but they're possibly not disclosing it. Do you think this is why Michael still has his tuber? Now, Kitty Lover, best handle ever. And you're right. Little kids don't know the orgasm things. And so they don't know what they're missing. And so what's really going on here? I agree. I think it's child abuse. Even if you had a child, you know, I just got to thinking about this. Even if you had a child that for whatever reason, they felt they truly were in the wrong body and transgendered, why would you doom your child to never experiencing the blinding light of an orgasm? Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, I want to find this one definition for you, because I want to. Let me find it. Hold on. Here you go. Now, doctors are telling you, I wouldn't want to doom my child to that. If my child got to 18 and I said, "Okay, go, son, you're going to go have some sex, whatever," even if I bought it for them, and then they still decided to do it, that's their choice. But why would you want it from one of the most magical things ever that a person could experience? Why? Why do that? Now, you know, and I know, and I know this is a weird discussion to have, but I'm looking at it, and I look at it because, you know, we're in a life where so much of life today is misery and pain and suffering and fear. Why would you doom somebody never to experience that freaking super magical thing? Why would you do that? Now, doctors will tell you, There you go. Infinity's got it right. Because the orgasm is linked to the creator. That's it. It's the divine spark. So see, there's a lot more at play here. A lot more at play. And I just have to believe if somebody's now having to worry about infection and stretching it out and everything else and don't have orgasm and stuff, I think they're going to get more progressively pissed. That's just my thinking. But I think they're going to get a hell of a lot more grouchy. Right? And you can be religious and still have sex. You can be religious and still have orgasms. Orgasm and being godly don't have to be separate. And an orgasm's not a dirty thing. I'm talking about how they're really attacking God. Now, and yes, when you go through, you're right, Carla, they have to treat this as an open wound for the rest of their life and have to be on medications the rest of their life. Now, you know and I know that the doctors convince these kids and these educators convince these kids, you will then become a man. You will then become a woman, right? You'll then become a man and you'll then become a woman. I just want to read something to you. Here's just the top line of what is gender-affirming surgery? Just listen. See if you can catch what's wrong with this. Top line, definition, gender-affirming surgery. Gender-affirming surgery is a surgical procedure or a series of procedures that alters a person's physical appearance to resemble those associated with their identified gender. Now, gender-affirming surgery definition doesn't say the procedure to turn a man into a woman or a woman into a man. It says to alter the physical appearance to resemble their identified gender. Now, here's the other catch. If you look up what are these surgeries costing, all these publications will say it could be anywhere from $6,500 to $25,000. But that's not the case. You can Google away. The actual average for people going through this is over $91,000, just under $92,000. Obamacare will cover a fixed amount, maximum $25,000 for the operation. So you got a $100,000 bill. That's just for the surgery. That's not the continued care. That's if everything kind of goes great and wonderful and it's not all the medications you're going to be on for the rest of your life. The government's going to pay $25,000 of it, which means the person is going to be stuck with $75,000 of additional cost and almost exclusively none of that money is paid back. It goes directly to write-off. None of that money is paid back. Boom. Now, when it goes to write-off and the hospitals, doctors, etc., write off that loss, who pays for it? You and I. Because overall medical cost, because of the losses, go through the roof. And the taxpayers are the ones that pay the cost. We pay the cost. And by the way, I was just talking about the surgery, not the maintenance. And so the reality is, we, as they push this, which foregoes God, foregoes children, all this other stuff, and hip and whatever, and you see it through the roof and driven by media, we're the ones that pick up the tab. And you're right. It also does not include psychological care. It doesn't. But we pick up the tab. Last year, if you were to look at kids who went through this, kids, age 12, 3,678 of them. 25,099 for patients who were 19 to 30, 10,476 who were 31 to 40, right? Went through it. Now, over in locals, I've given you all the numbers. You can look it up yourself. You can totally look it up yourself by the numbers, right? Thousands and thousands and thousands of these surgeries. But what's even more weird about this is the American Medical Association has started writing laws. And I want to see if you can kind of catch this twist in how this is being sold to insurance carriers. Okay? They basically say that over a third of transgendered individuals will suffer depressive episodes in their lifetime. 20% say they've been diagnosed with suicidal tendencies in 30 days, 7.9% in the last 6 months, 9.8% have post-traumatic stress disorder, and 15.2% use drugs. Okay, that's kind of the numbers they throw out. Now, what they say is the American Medical Association is now saying it is against people's civil rights. Where do you think that comes from? To deny them care or canceling an insurance policy based on gendered identity. And of course, you can't use gender to determine a premium, blah, 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 all this other stuff. You know, like you, if you and I had cancer and we got to go get new insurance, it's going to be hard as hell to get cancer. You follow what I'm saying? And they're putting together this whole study, and I showed it to you, that it's abusive because 78% of respondents wanted hormone therapy and their insurance won't allow it. Okay? By the way, they also say that 90 plus percent of the people that are doing this are having mental issues, but they don't talk about that. But let me show you how they're selling it. They're saying that these people, and here's why they bring in the suicide. You ready? These people who are transgendered have a high ideation of suicide. And if the person attempts suicide, pay attention. If the person attempts suicide, the carrier is going to have a insurance charge of anywhere between $2,596 or $7,234. So they say these people are highly suicidal. See where they sell the numbers? And they're more likely to attempt suicide. And if they attempt that, it's $2,596 to $7,234 it's going to cost you. And I've given you these documents. You can read it yourself. Here is how they're selling it. Now, I've already told you, when the patient defaults, because the carriers say they cover it, but they don't really cover it because the doctors are charging $100,000 and the carriers are paying about $25,000. And it is now a $15 billion market. Okay. $15 billion market. So now the American Medical Association says, look, you can't afford to take that hit for $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000. You can't do that. So it is better. They say to pay anywhere from 77 cents to 96 cents per enrollee when you think about their insurance cost that they're paying you. Now, do you understand why I gave you the ESPN example? The ESPN example, when I explained to you, yes, you're paying that $80, $100 cable bill, and ESPN gets $2.62, but it's really $2.62 times 200 million times a month. Now you understand what's up. Because you have two sides of the equation. You have the people for what they pay, and you have the companies what they pay, and insurance is mandatory. And they're basically paying it every month. So it's a massive cash pool. And even though they have a massive cash pool, that comes and affects every one of us, we get a second dip in it that when the patient defaults because the insurance carrier is not going to carry it, the hospital is going to write it off. That write-off is going to come back and even push our rates up further. We pay for every one of these transitions. We pay 75% of the cost. And they're forcing employers to deal with it. They're forcing healthcare carriers to deal with it. And at the end of the day, every one of us is picking up 75% of this cost. It doesn't stop suicide rates. In fact, they've shown they've gone higher. It is a medical racket. And they could treat it. They could treat it with psychiatry and help, right? And just push it till the person was 18. But see, then the deal would be they wouldn't have as many big surgeries. And what's the one thing you definitely want to defend? Your children. Now you see why they push it to children. And then they're on a lifetime of meds. And at the same time, they've cut out one of the most incredible gifts God ever gave mankind. And pushing more and more and more into a society that doesn't reproduce. Now, why would a country, why would Democrats, because you know only Big Pharma wins in this, only the medical profession wins in this, only our rates and our taxes go up, and then all of a sudden our society is not reproducing at the rate we should reproduce, because they've already taught kids don't have kids, it's horrible, and now they're making where you can have kids. Well, listen to this oldie but goodie and see if you can pick up one of the reasons they need to do what they're doing.
Now more than ever, we're short of workers. We have a population that is not reproducing it on its own with the same level that it used to. The only way we're going to have a great future in America is if we welcome and embrace immigrants, the dreamers, and all of them, because our ultimate...
Bringing in the immigrants is about only about being in perpetual power forever. That's it. Now, when you look through the transgender filter, and now when you understand what happens, right? And they're the ones that support it. And you're not going to look back at this $100,000 surgery and go, very few, I screwed up. They're going to ostracize. What's going on, Schumer? What's wrong with our population? Why do we need all these people coming across the border?
Now more than ever, we're short of workers. We have a population that is not reproducing it on its own with the same level that it used to. The only way we're going to have a great future in America is if we welcome and embrace immigrants, the Dreamers, and all of them, because our ultimate goal is to help the Dreamers but get a path to citizenship for all 11 million or however many undocumented there are here.
24 million, not 11. And now you see the complete circle. Money and power. Perpetual money, little bit at a time, and perpetual power. And that is the perpetual motion machine that we are trapped in. That's it. They have perfected what has been sought in energy, how to harness perpetual motion. And yes, it generates power perpetually, but not in the way it should for power our homes. It powers money and politicians. And now you have all the facts, all the data behind it. You have enough information to call it out, because we have to call this crap out. And by the way, if you don't understand how they do it to you, you can't defend yourself from it. Share this program. I know it was a tough one and a weird one, but I love you all.
Most people are afraid to stand up and speak out, but not you. You've been learning how to tell the system to cut the crap. What can I do to help save the America I love? And the answer is, learn how to fight back and tell the system to cut the crap. Cut the Crap's not just a radio program, it's a movement. The right kind of movement, which breaks free the conservative constipation and reminds you that you are the majority, and we're just not going to take it anymore. Make sure you're following Joe Von Hunt and Pulitzer on all social media. See you next week, and between now and then, take a stand and tell them all to cut the crap.
260 million of you shop here weekly. And did you know you spend about $1,400 each year? 2.5 million of you shop here daily, and you give them $1,000 each year. Combined, that's $500 billion annually. And you think it's the American way to shop? Think again. Your hard-earned money is being funneled to bad organizations. The consumable products you buy, well, they're washing America down the drain. Think about where you spend your money. Folks, we have to save America from socialism. We need to make the woke go broke. First things first, and that's America first. You need to follow the money. You need to follow your money and make the woke go broke. So I will show you how to save America from socialism. Go to makewokegobroke.click. Yes, dot click. Makewokegobroke.click. Makewokegobroke.click, and do it now.
Joe Von, HuttonPulitzer.locals.com is the only place a true patriot can stay informed, free of charge, without censorship. Over 18.5 million plays, it's Joe Von, Hutton Pulitzer.
It's absolutely a government triangulation. They are literally putting Mike Lindell in the crosshairs. They get to choose 250 ballots of their choosing. Now you have the facts and the information to educate them and to open their eyes to what's really happened. Even I had no idea how dirty they play this game of censorship until I lost my social media.
If you consider yourself to be a true patriot, it would be a crime not to visit JovanHuttonPulitzer.locals.com today.
I guarantee you, you will absolutely be the smartest patriot in the room.